This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Here is picks the last 3 years. Let's see if the caller's right. Derek Rivers, Antonio Garcia, Dedrick Wise, Connor McDermott. Did you like that draft last year?
No. I mean, not yet. He took four guys last year.
That's it. Derek Rivers, Antonio Garcia, the tackle, Dedrick Wise, and Connor McDermott.
And again, nobody till the third.
Okay, McDermott is, I don't think, on the team. Dedrick Wise, Antonio Garcia was hurt all year. That's the tackle they took in the third round. Rivers got hurt in camp, non-factor, and Wise looks like a nice little player.
Right.
Okay, maybe something there with Dedrick Wise. Year before, 2016, Cyrus Jones.
Puke.
Joe Tooney.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
Vincent Valentine.
Yeah.
Useless.
Malcolm Mitchell.
I like, but hurt all the
hurt.
Time.
Okay. Then in the sixth round, something named Camus Krieger-Hill.
Mm-mm.
Never heard of him.
I do. I remember him, but I don't even think he's with him anymore, is he?
In the sixth round in 2016, Alandon Roberts.
Yay!
Get off my team.
Good pick.
Yeah, in the sixth round.
Yeah, sixth round.
Fine.
Okay, sixth round.
A warm body that plays.
No, it's tough to find a guy in the sixth round and get steamrolled at the goal line. That's good, a linebacker. Yeah, go ahead.
Seventh round that year. Sixth round that year, Ted Karras, the guard.
The Bedard's guy.
Gone. And Devin Lucien, the receiver there in the seventh round.
Yeah.
15, I'll just do one more year. Malcolm Brown in the first.
Yeah. Totally acceptable. At 32, acceptable.
Good pick.
Yeah,
agreed.
Fine. I mean, he's an every down player for the most part.
Second round that year.
Mm-hmm.
Second round.
Oh, I know who this is.
Jordan Richards.
Boo.
Tavon Wilson Jr. Yep, nice pick. Keep going.
Third round, Geno Grissom.
Yep.
Fourth round, Trey Flowers.
Good.
Stud.
Excellent. Fourth round pick, Trey Jackson.
Bust.
Fourth round pick, Shaq Mason.
Good pick.
Excellent. Fifth round pick, Joe Cardona.
he's just playing a CD collection.
This is, again, right, exactly. People say, Bill doesn't make moves for personnel. Bill doesn't make moves with a person. I give you Joe Cardona, the Navy long snapper in the fifth round. Sixth round, something named Matthew Wells.
Never heard of him.
Sixth round pick, A.J. Derby.
He was half decent. That's a guy they traded to Denver,
I
right?
Tight end? He's still in the league, right?
Yeah.
Seventh round pick, Daryl Roberts. Seventh round pick, Xavier Dixon. Who I've had not heard of until that moment. I think he's drafted fine. When you talk, it's the number of picks. Like, and when you look at the last 3 years, Wise, I think, has a real future. And we'll see about Rivers and Garcia. I think Brissett was a fine pick, turns out. Malcolm Mitchell, very good pick. Alandon Roberts, from where they got him, value there. Malcolm Brown at 32 overall, totally acceptable, as Maz said. Trey Flowers in the fourth, home run. Shaq Mason in the fourth, pretty damn good.
Mike, it's really the last two drafts, though. Who have they gotten out of the last two drafts?
Okay, but to me, that's not about who he's picked. It's about losing all the picks for trading away for Brandon Cooks, trading away for Coney Ealy, trading away for Mike Gillisley, trading away for guys that didn't do anything for you. And Cooks, he did something for you, but you know what I mean. Like, last year's draft, Wise has a real future. There's like, that's a good prospect, Dedrick Wise. And then Rivers and Garcia are still maybes. So you only drafted four players and three of them might be good.
So last year, okay, again, but we don't know yet either, right?
We don't know, right.
The bottom line is right now, other than Wise, they get nothing out of the draft.
That's right.
Right?
That's
and right. The year before, the 2016 draft, what are they getting out of that?
Hold on.
Tooney. And that's pretty much it.
Well,
Roberts. Yeah, but what does Roberts give you, really?
Minutes.
So, exactly.
It's a warm body.
So I just, at the end of the day, I don't think Roberts really is a, there's no consistency there or something you can rely on. At least with Tooney, you say he starts every game, he's your left guard. Fine. Like, Tooney gives you something. Roberts? See, I can't give him Roberts. He's made the team, but what does he give you?
Vinny in Rhode Island, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, I'll make my points and I'll hang up so I can listen.
Perfect.
On the Garoppolo trade, the first time I heard that, when I heard San Francisco, I thought, well, there goes Brady's fantasy, because I always thought Brady would quit a couple of years early and go out and play in the 49ers to be like his idol, Joe Montana.
Right.
And I was just wondering what you think about
I hate that take. Vinny, I love you and I love your listenership and you're a consumer of ours, you're a customer of ours, and so I love you and I mean it to death. But that take, I'm ready to puke. I'm just so sick of that. Tom Brady did not want to play in San Francisco. He wanted to play with the Patriots. This is why they're in the mess that they're in. This is why the whole thing happened, because Brady does not want to play in San Francisco. If Brady wanted to play in San Francisco, it'd be pretty damn easy. He'd be in San Francisco and Garoppolo would still be here. Okay? Brady does not want to play in San Francisco. He wants to play here. which is why Kraft had to step in, and they had to make a move that pissed off Belichick and is now in the place that they're in because Brady wanted to play for the Patriots, not the Niners. I'm sick of that.
Oh, God, it's driving me crazy, please. You know how I feel about it. It's just, it's hard to also have this discussion without lapsing back into the Garoppolo story. Okay, because they, you know, again, they just have not had enough talent come out of the draft the last 2 years, whether it's been the result of not having a lot of picks, guys getting injured, whatever. They haven't had enough fruit come out of that draft in 2 years. Meanwhile, they traded Garoppolo, who they nailed the pick on. At least it feels like they did 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And you look at it and you say, now, given the shortage of picks they have in this draft, and I know you felt this way, you didn't get enough back. So now going into the draft, you've got 31, 43, and 63. And 43 is what you got for Garoppolo. That should have been a top 10 pick. A top 15.
Pick up the phone from Cleveland and you're sitting at number 4.
I mean, if you get number 10 there, let's just say number 10.
They had number 4.
So, and again, I'll even say, let's just say it slides and you end up at you know, where the Niners ended up. And you get San Francisco's first at 10 or 11.
Right.
You can still trade that for a couple of seconds, maybe a third, and now you've got 5 picks in the first 3 rounds to fill out your defense. Instead, you've got 2 in the top 60 picks, and they don't come until 31. Like, oh my God, the mistakes that they have made to put themselves in this spot.
Glenn and Natick, hi.
How you doing? Maz, you've been a big proponent of keeping Garoppolo, and I agree with you, but how did you propose to do that? Were you willing to trade Brady?
I was willing to franchise Garoppolo.
Okay, you take that off the table. Now, how else do you do it?
Well, the only way to do it is to trade Brady, but I don't think it was going to come to that.
If it came to that, would you do it?
I would do it.
I mean, I would, but they wouldn't.
Okay, so, I mean, that's so fine. At least you've been consistent. I'm sorry, Glenn, finish.
This is what my point is. How are you going to, you know, spend $40 million in cash and also $40-plus million in cap and expect to fill all these holes that they have this year?
So this is my point, too. Them franchising Garoppolo is not realistic. It's just no owner in sports has ever done that. So it's like, I thought it was unrealistic from the start. Kraft wasn't going to do it. So now you go to the next thing. To keep Garoppolo, there's only one way. You had to trade Brady. And this is why I don't blast Kraft. Because it's like, that's a hard thing. Not only is Brady that important to you in history, he's still the best quarterback in the league. So that's an exceptionally hard call. The crime is the return. The crime is not maximizing the return. That's the crime. The other thing is a close call and a real debatable point.
Yeah, but the only thing is, when you say no one's ever done it before, so that means you can't do it?
It's unprecedented for a reason, man.
Okay, but no, that's not true, because there are lots of things that are unprecedented that get done that break the mold.
And there's things that are unprecedented that never get done for a reason.
True.
This is one of them.
And I'm just telling you that this is a unique circumstance. When you have the kind of situation that they have, if you have to, figure it out.
Phil and Malden, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, thanks, guys, for the call. The game last night, I don't know if you guys lost any sleep over it, but I did. Watched the whole game. And would you rank this up with the Miracle on Ice with the men's?
No.
God, no.
Would you please? Come on, Phil.
Not even close. First of all, there are 2 good women's hockey teams in the world.
That's it. There's only 2, and you play each other every time.
Everyone else sucks. Okay?
You play each other for every big championship. It's you and them.
And the Miracle on Ice. That was a bunch of college kids that beat the best team in the world. Are you going to compare that to this, and let alone all the political trappings that went along with that story? No, please, not even close.
Lennon Everett on the Bees. Hi, Len.
Felger, Maserati, you guys are killing me over here. You, all this talk with J.D. Martinez, Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, nothing about Tuukka Rask. The guy is the backbone of the team. He's a sure lock for the Vezina, and he probably should win the MVP for the best player in the whole league. Without him, this team would be going nowhere.
How come they have a better record with the other goalie then?
They do not.
They have a better record.
Lenny. Bruins goalie in NHL history.
Oh, brother. Lenny, they have a better winning percentage with the other goalie.
They do, because he's played a small percentage of games, Felger. Have you been watching for the past 3 months?
Every game.
This guy, if he stays healthy, they're going to be a lock for the Stanley Cup.
Okay, that's all I care about, Len.
My boss. I'm going to get fired if they don't win the Cup. I'm going to get a raise if they do. So I am counting on my Rays because this guy is the best goalie the Bruins have ever had, and he's probably a top five that ever played professional hockey in the NHL.
Wow, holy moly.
Locked to win the Stanley Cup.
Okay, I hope that's a hell of a raise you're getting there, Len.
Yeah, Felga.
And whatever.
I'm going to get fired.
The only one I care about is the Stanley. I don't care about the Vezina or what. So if he's this good and the team's this ready, then he's winning playoff series this spring. Right, Lenny?
And Bergeron's going to win the Selke, Felga.
Okay, it's...
two U's, two K's, two brain cells.
It's been a while since we've checked back in with the Celtics. Celtics begin their post-All-Star break run tomorrow night. Okay, tomorrow night they get back at it. And things were teetering quite a bit heading into the break.
Yep.
We take the temperature of the Celts right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blunt force trauma!
We're gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celts back at tomorrow night, 98.5, the Sports Hub at Detroit. They lose their last three games heading into the All-Star break. Should have been their last four. They were gifted a win over the Bullets, I think, in that one game.
They were. They totally were. Washington puked on themselves at the end of that game.
So you head out of the All-Star break, the Celts are only three games ahead of Cleveland. In second, three games in the loss column behind Toronto. What do you expect from this team coming out of the break?
I would expect them to play a hell of a lot better than they did going in. They gave up 125 points on average the last two games they played. They completely shut it down. They completely shut it down going into the break. And again, I'll even allow for that. Given the way that they generally play and the way they've played all year, they got a little tired. They get to the break and they said, we don't want to play. Can we start now? We want vacation now. So they get a little bit of that, used to call it senioritis, right? Senior year of college. You just shut it down at the end. That's the end of it. So, fine. But coming out, be ready to go now.
So that was Brad Stevens right there yesterday with Beadle and Zoe. And there's some urgency in Brad Stevens' interview yesterday with Beadle. That was just a little snippet of it, talking about we better be ready to go coming out of it. Play Stevens too, Jimmy.
I want to get back to being a team that finds a way and does so because it competes at the highest of levels on every possession. We haven't been a perfect team all year, but what we have done for, especially the early part of the year was we competed. We found a way. We have to put every piece of energy into that. We have to play better than we did heading into break. Everybody had the same All-Star break. So to say that we were looking ahead to break or whatever the case may be, well, everybody else was in the same boat too. The bottom line is that's no excuse for poor performance. And we had a few of those heading into break, and we better play a lot better here over the next 23 games, because if we stay at the level we've been playing at, it's not good enough.
All right, he was all beeswax there the other day. And so I think that's, in part to the team. It should be imparted to the team. So, I know I asked this last weekend going into the break, but just what are they? Are you confident that they are the best team in the...
No.
You never were. But has anyone changed their minds too? Have you changed your mind on the Celtics?
No, I think when we get to playoff time, we'll see what we saw closer to October and November. I think we'll see that team when they're engaged defensively. I think they'll be better, and they'll be good in the playoffs, and I still expect them Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals, if not the NBA Finals against the Warriors.
Yeah, I think they'll be all those things too, except will they be home or on the road? They're at Toronto, or if somehow Cleveland catches them? Cleveland's only three back in the loss column after all of that.
That's not over yet.
That's not over yet. So if you're at Cleveland, there's a scenario where if they keep playing like this, and Cleveland keeps playing like they were playing after the Isaiah trade, you're the three seed playing Cleveland in the second round. You're not even making the conference final, never mind the NBA final. Like, that scenario's on the table unless they get their act together.
Of course!
I think that's why you hear the urgency from Brad Stevens, because he knows that's on the table.
Give me Stevens 4, Jimmy.
We all know what we look like when we're at our very best. We haven't been there as much in the recent games. Now, we played really good teams, and they had been playing well with great spirit and well-documented a lot of changes on those teams, and sometimes there is a boost from that, especially in the very near term. But I think ultimately we have to control us, and we have to do a better job playing to our strengths. And again, we've taken the time to really evaluate that. And if struggling going into break made us do it with more focus, with an even more focused lens, and it benefits us in the long run, then that's a good thing. But we'll see. You know, that'll be something that we'll have to, you know, we'll have to go out there and play the right way.
Who's got the most pressure on him in the second half? Marcus Smart, coming off of that insanely stupid hand injury. Kyrie Irving, just because he's the man. Al Horford, because he's got to be the two. The kids, who's got the most pressure on him?
To me, throw the veteran guys out. Forget it. Those, we know what those guys are. Kyrie Irving's got nothing to prove. So to me, it's Smart, and I would say Jaylen Brown. I think it's those two. I give Tatum less only because he's a rookie, and it's his first year through. But if they're going to be, if the Celtics are going to be who, you know, they can be, Smart and Brown have to play better. Not necessarily in that order either. I'd put Brown before Smart.
Yeah, Smart has to get back to where he was defensively almost immediately because they need it. And maybe I'm being too hard on him because he's a rookie, but I think Tatum. I mean, because he was becoming like their de facto two for a while there.
Yes, your second or third option.
And he was struggling with his shot most of January, so he has to be better.
I would say him or Brown have to emerge as a third scoring option.
Yeah, for sure. Again, and
even if not the second scoring option.
I do it purely based on seniority. So I put more pressure on the guy who's in the second year than the first. Because at the end of the day, Tatum's a rookie. Okay, if you're relying on him, then you're not as good as you think you are.
Yeah, but Maz, for months, he looked lethal.
True. Yeah, true. I look at his body, I say he's not ready. He's not ready for 82 games plus the playoffs.
So my hope is that this rest has benefited him.
Maybe. Yeah, you might be right. I mean, you could be. I just think I look at Brown and say, what was the game where Brown didn't have a point until the fourth quarter? Was it the Cleveland game?
Like, Yeah.
Brutal. That can't happen. You're going up against that kind of team, and you know you're playing LeBron and his new cast, and you don't have a point until the fourth quarter, and you're getting your ass kicked? Where were you?
Okay, I'm Marcus Smart. This guy. I don't know if enough has been made of just what a stupid sequence he had there in L.A. When you really think about what was going on, you know, I have all these side reports about what he had going on the side, Murray, right? We won't get into, you know, all of it, but, you know, who was Pablo Sandoval's Instagram?
Diva Legacy.
Diva Legacy. Yeah.
He had like a Diva Legacy situation going on, presumably. Okay, so someone bought a gal and she was at the game and the Instagram thing back and forth. And does that tie into, remember the last game before he sliced his hand?
He takes that hero shot.
That Lakers game where they set up a play for Kyrie or someone else, and he hogs the ball, takes the last second shot from three, and you lose to the Lakers. That night, his hand goes through a glass at the hotel as he's embroiled in the Diva Legacy Instagram situation. It's sort of like, well, is that why you took the shot? Because you were trying to impress the gal in the front row? Like, what's going on? Like, the whole thing, on the court and off. What was that, dude? What was that? And when he talked about it, and we're not going to play the sound because there's too many basketballs bouncing in the background. It makes you want to blow your brains out. Like the basketball sound in practice where all you hear is that in the background. It's like, I can't do that. Just take my word for it. When I tell you what he said was
the worst
about how the glass just missed tendons in his hand by, you know, I was going to say inches, millimeters. You know, millimeters. He sliced himself between two tendons, where if that thing is just a skosh, just a little, you know, hair's length over one way or the other, he's got surgery and he's out for the year. Why? Because of some hero ball shot for some Diva Legacy thing that you got going on? Like, what?
Right. Punched a frame on the wall is what it was, I think.
Holy crap. So, look, I think his Celtics future's in the balance. He's a tweener, even if he's playing great and a good citizen, his future with the team isn't set. Between him and Rozier and the cap room they're going to need to make a bigger trade down the line. So never mind, this is introduced now. He's playing for his Celtics life. This is Brad Stevens. Play Stevens 1, Jimmy, if you could, please. Brad Stevens on the Marcus Smart situation. And, you know, Stevens, you can just tell by the tonality. Not happy. Why would he be?
I met with him here recently and just, you know, kind of talk to him about it is go time. It is not an ideal situation that he put himself through or how it impacted us, but we need him to be his best version of himself moving forward, and I expect that he will be.
Okay, so he's giving him no breaks there, and so we'll see. I think to me Marcus Smart is at the top of the list after that episode, please.
Well, and you know the problem too with this sort of thing is, fine, you dodge the injury, and even then, you know, the idea that the team lost games in his absence, fine. How much time now is it going to take him to get back up to speed? like on top of it all, it's almost like your season, your whole season gets reset because you've been out a month on top of it. So now, look, it was a hand injury, so I'm sure he's got his legs. I'm sure he was running, doing whatever else. I think game conditioning is different, but is he going to have the same touch? Not that he had a great one anyway, but rhythm, et cetera. Like, how much is it going to take him to get all that back?
Felger and Maz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Still, the questions around Davis swirl. He's signed for 3 more seasons, but at some point, will he ask for a trade? Davis acknowledges he's heard ex-players like Kevin Garnett say they regret not asking to move to a more competitive franchise earlier in their careers.
Yeah, when you hear that, it makes you think. I'm not gonna lie, it makes you think. So you wonder if you followed in that same path. But then again, you're like, this year could be the year. Like, you don't know, you know, so... you just got to take it year by year and just see, you know, see where the team is going, what direction they want to go to, and just see where they're headed.
You heard it right there, where Anthony Davis says, you do start to wonder if you wait too long. And, you know, Anthony Davis, for the first time, for all these years where he's been asked about trade rumors, that's the first time, don't you feel like he's ever sort of entertained it and, gave it some life?
Every other time, he shuts it down immediately. And when I heard this, I was like, ooh. The seed's actually been planted here because he's, I think, at three more years on his contract, or at least two. So I figured, okay, he's not going to go anywhere. It seems like he wants to ride this out in New Orleans and be the man there. But that, I thought that was kind of telling.
And isn't it significant, Maz, that he's reacting to Garnett?
Yes.
It's Garnett who's saying it.
But it also suggests to me that, like, he's awakening to the reality. Why would you wait if you're a great player? Garnett didn't get enough time out of it.
That's right.
He missed it. I shouldn't say he missed it. He didn't catch enough of the window. Now, he ended up winning a title. He's happy. He had a great career, et cetera, et cetera. He could have won 3 titles, 5 titles. Who the hell knows? You put this guy on a good team, you're going to win a few.
So the door is ajar. That's the first time on his end. You know, I think the Celtics have always been interested. On his end, this is the first time I feel the door is ajar. So how about them apples? So does that, add that to the conversation as well. We haven't asked this question in a while, but I'll just get, everyone's temperature. Would you give up Jason Tatum if it took getting Anthony Davis?
No, I'm still a hard no on Tatum.
Untouchable.
I'm not going to let a little rookie dip here affect my thoughts on that kid. The upside's too much.
Stu?
I'm a no.
Yes. Anthony Davis, yes. Now, again, not my preferred route. I would rather go Brown in the pick than Tatum in the pick. And you're certainly not getting all 3. I'm keeping one of those guys. But ultimately, for Davis, yes. And for Davis, I do it.
And it's important to the potential math equation that this pick does convey this year, this Lakers pick does convey, because it can be put in a package with Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, and then you get close enough to Davis's $24 million.
I mean, the Lakers winning...
This pick is just so important to... the Celtics potentially getting Davis this offseason.
I mean, also the draft is so much better, allegedly. You know, and I know
But you're saying from a money perspective, Jimmy, they should be able to figure that out. I mean, I don't know. It's important for them getting him this year. If you can say to the Pelicans, here's a top 5 pick this year versus what we think next year should be a top 5 because Sacramento blows, but again, you don't know.
Right? No.
The bird in hand is what makes it valuable. You know it's a top 5 pick.
Yes, and I also think the draft matters. Because I know you love this topic. You know, this draft's good.
It's always the next one.
Okay, but in this case, it's not the next one. It's this one. This is the draft you got to be in. And if you are them, if you're New Orleans and you're going to trade Davis, wouldn't you want to crack a draft in the next
big guy? Yes.
Yeah. And there's a lot of bigs up top, whether it's Ayton, Mo Bamba.
Bagley?
Yeah.
I mean, really. So to me, this is the one. Like but they're going to have a hard time getting there now.
Okay, phones, as promised. We started off with Patriots and draft, and we've gotten some action on that. Ron in Braintree on that. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I want to ask you guys, have you guys heard about the quarterback from Richmond?
Yes.
That Patriots are looking at? Nah, have you guys seen him play? Is he any good?
So I watched some of the video, but, he doesn't look like anything special to me, but, that doesn't factor in what kind of offense they're running, the decision-making capability. Like, I don't know, but he's not the most skilled and talented guy in the world.
I've invested very little in this, so it's all new to me, but Murray gave me something earlier in the show that just scared the crap out of me. The kid from Delaware?
Yes.
Richmond.
Yeah, this is the Richmond guy.
Yeah, Richmond.
Oh, so the Richmond
same guy.
You said Delaware. It took, but then you corrected it and I forgot. So Richmond, the Richmond kid caller, the Richmond's kid's dad went to Navy
and was a quarterback there,
and he plays lacrosse too.
Yeah,
if there was ever an automatic, like we don't waste your time on anyone else. This kid from Richmond is a lacrosse bro, as Murray said, and his dad played quarterback at Navy. Was he coached by Steve? Can you tell me if they intersected? If this kid's dad was there when Steve Belichick was coaching Navy, don't bother looking anywhere else. Don't bother. Unless, of course, the Crafts have stepped in and said, Bill, we're going to keep a close eye on this one because this is a big one. So we're not going to let you draft another long snapper from Navy just because your dad recruited him or whatever the case may be. We're not doing that. Just keep it. The Richmond kid scares the ever-loving crap out of me. A lacrosse player whose dad quarterbacked at Navy. Did they intercept? That's what I want to know. Was the kid's father coached, recruited, or did he cross paths with Steve, you know, the senior, and Steve Belichick, right? His father? Yeah. That's what I need to know.
Kyle LaLetta is who you're talking about.
John in Upton. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, I want to congratulate you. I don't think you could contradict yourselves even more when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Give us time.
All right, you gave a list of all the bad picks Belichick made, correct, in the draft?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I think he's drafted okay the last couple of years. I don't think he's made bad draft picks.
Okay, but now you think we should have got more for Garoppolo from Cleveland?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, now what happens when Jimmy Garoppolo, we don't know what Belichick would do with that pick. He probably would do something good with it. Okay, well, what if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't want to play in Cleveland and he plays there this year and then maybe they franchise him for a year? And then what if he's wearing a Jets uniform?
They can franchise him a second year. They can franchise him as long as they want.
Well, then what are they going to do with all their other picks? When it gets to a point where you're paying $30 million for a quarterback and you have all these picks, that's just not making sense.
I don't get what you're talking about.
Yeah, what's your ultimate point, John?
Because Bill Belichick did the best deal trading him to San Francisco, a place where he's going to stay, a place that you only play them once a year, I mean once every 4 years. If Garoppolo came back and he started winning Super Bowls with the Jets, we would hate Belichick.
Well, that is running Belichick. Scared, man. So on the second move, I'm not telling you to trade him to the Jets, but on the secondary move, he goes to the Jets. The Jets. And you're afraid of that? You're afraid of the Jets? And for that, you're giving up the chance for the fourth overall pick in the draft? Boy, if that was a real rationale, that is, I don't agree with that, man. I don't agree with that. I take my chances on Garoppolo in Cleveland. I take my chances that he would shake free there within a couple of years and then go to the Jets and that I'd still be okay. I'd still be sitting here with the fourth overall pick in the first round if I just picked up the phone from Cleveland. Sorry, caller.
I also don't get how we're contradicting ourselves. So if you could have gotten a higher pick, you shouldn't take it?
Maury, what do you have?
Well, I have your answer. So Stephen Belichick was a coach at Navy from 1956 to 1989.
Oh, boy.
Joe LaLetta, father of one Kyle LaLetta.
Played in the 70s.
No, he was a quarterback at Navy in 1984 through 1986.
Square in the Steve Belichick era.
That is correct.
This is your next quarterback, folks. What's his name again?
Kyle LaLetta.
This is your next quarterback.
Was also the MVP of the Senior Bowl. It mirrored what Garoppolo did at the Senior Bowl before he came out in the draft. He went there, like, kind of last minute, lit it up. Patriots draft him high. Same with this LaLetta kid.
All right, let's get...
He's the guy.
Get the film out. This is the guy. There's no question about it.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
Tatum, go ahead. Brian, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Look, I want to start by saying that I want Anthony Davis on this team really, really bad. That being said, I think that they have to find a way to do it without trading Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum's upside is well documented. All right, everybody has a pretty good idea where he's going to be at with a couple more years of NBA experience under his belt. The one thing that I don't hear a lot of people talking about is what Jason Tatum could be after adding, say, 15 to 20 pounds of solid muscle on his frame to go along with that.
What could he be? Let me stop you there. When he fills out, what is he? What's his ultimate ceiling?
Like, I look at him and I think he could be a guy like a... You remember Grant Hill
Of course.
Okay, so I think he could be, I don't know if he's as good a complete or as complete a player as a guy like Grant Hill.
Shoot as well as Grant Hill.
He shoots well. I mean, I was going to say, I don't know if he's quite as, you know, a good as good a passer as Grant Hill, or, you know, even quite as athletic as Grant Hill. But, you know, like, he's got that kind of body, though.
Here's the point. If you're New Orleans, what, and again, I personally have been a Jaylen Brown guy over a Tatum guy. But it doesn't look like it's playing out that way. It feels like Jaylen Brown has plateaued or gotten worse here in his second year. Okay, he has not developed. So if you're New Orleans and you have Anthony Davis, why are you ever settling on Jason Tatum? I'm sorry, Jason Tatum. Why are you settling on Jaylen Brown over Jason Tatum?
You're not.
So it's going to take Tatum.
Because you're getting the number two pick in the draft. And that's why it's so important that this conveys to its maximum value, so you don't have to put Jason Tatum in that trade.
In which case, I would want both. Like, if I were them, that's what I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that's an overpay by the Celtics.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. This kid was the number one pick in the draft, and he's one of the top five players in the league. And there's
Tatum in the second pick is not an overpay for
Kyrie him. Irving was the number one pick in the draft, and it was for the Brooklyn pick. It was for Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas. How'd that deal look?
Small guy, though.
You're speaking with a lot
still of... Still transcendent player, though.
A lot of conviction from you, Jay Stu. What do you know?
Yeah, what's going on back there?
I know that they've been continuing their groundwork on Anthony Davis.
They've been interested in him from the start. That's legit.
And they took the days leading into the trade deadline to talk to New Orleans rather than to add a player like Tyreke Evans.
So they've actually had conversations recently?
Yes.
Huh.
Hmm.
I don't think Ainge aims low. I mean, when Ainge is talking deals, he wants big-time players. You know, he's talking about, you know, the kinds of deals like the one he made with Cleveland. You know, the Isaiah deal's a small deal in that league to bring him in. But then you're going for a title? He wants the big deals. He wants the big fish.
I got to dig a little deeper here, Jimmy. Did the Celtics, by chance, put Kevin Garnett up to this conversation with Anthony Davis?
Wouldn't shock me, but I don't know that to be true.
But this is why I think Garnett saying it is sort of significant. And when does he say it? You know, draw a couple other dots. You know, when does Rondo get in Isaiah Thomas's face? And when does that whole thing happen? When does Garnett start saying these things about I should have asked for a trade sooner? All coming off of the Pierce thing here when they were all together. And so, I don't know, do they all spread out and do their bidding? Do their Celtics bidding?
Yes.
Of course. So I think it's significant that Garnett is saying it. And for the first time, Anthony Davis entertains it. He says, yeah, you know, you're right. You got to watch that. When is the right time to ask for a trade? It's something to think about.
So I don't remember the last time Davis talked about it. I mean, I know they were in here and he downplayed it. But in between then and now, Cousins also got hurt. Right? Cousins blew out his Achilles. He's gone. So maybe the kid's looking at it going, this year's going down the toilet. They're not going to re-sign Cousins. Maybe I do have to get out of here.
Let me give you one more. And this is not Anthony Davis related. This is how far the Celtics can go and what kind of team they are. Along the lines of that conversation, Murray put this in front of me. This is Nick Wright on Fox Sports Radio.
Correct.
He's on a panel show on Fox Sports Radio. I think you're going to hear Chris Mannix, our very own Chris Mannix, is part of this panel. But Nick Wright,
who hates the Celtics.
Fine. You tell me, take out the personality. Don't attack the person. Okay. Don't attack. This is not about the person. This is about the content of his comments. Does he have a point? Go ahead, Jimmy.
I hear what everyone's saying, but it's just blind faith. It's just because we think it should be the case. Because, yeah, last year they didn't have Jason Tatum.
I need to set up for a second. He's talking about the Celtics being the team coming out of the East and that they've emerged as the next team in the East. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I hear what everyone's saying, but it's just blind faith. It's just because we think it should be the case. Because, yeah, last year they didn't have Jason Tatum. But they did have Jay Crowder, who, again, shot the same percentage Tatum shooting this year, averaged the same points, actually averaged more rebounds.
Come on. Stop. Is that true? Did Jay Crowder average the same amount of points with a better shooting percentage and more rebounds than Jason Tatum is currently? Is Jason Tatum right now versus Jay Crowder last year a downgrade or an upgrade statistically?
Oh, you know what? I don't even care what the numbers are. Statistically, they might be the same. They might be. But he's a better player. It's not even close. Just my two cents.
Well, no, yes, he's going to be a better player, and I think Wright is going to pick up on that, but I just wanted to stop right there. Will someone look at the numbers? Jay Crowder last year, what did he shoot? What did he average? Is Jason Tatum above that or below that?
I know he was near 40% in three, but keep going.
Well, he was lights out from three the first couple months, and then he came back to earth. You know, all I'm saying is, does he have a point there? I mean, a thousand times out of a thousand, I want Jason Tatum over Jay Crowder. A thousand times out of a thousand, Tatum's going to be a better player. No one's saying that. This snapshot in time, we're talking about this year's Celtics versus last year's, is going from Jay Crowder to Jason Tatum, an upgrade or a downgrade, just in a vacuum this year.
So I have Crowder's stats right in front of me. Last year for the season, he averaged 14 points and shot 40% from three.
What's Tatum?
Either one of you guys get that up? I can't look up both players at the same time.
Little help here, please.
Hold on.
13.5 for Jason Tatum.
And what's he shooting from three?
43%.
It's close.
And Crowder has him on rebounds. So just, I mean, that's just, this is the thing Scal said the night of the trade, that you're not better this year, and this is why. Okay, so anyway, Nick Wright continues with this.
Shooting this year, average the same points, actually average more rebounds.
Come on, you know they're not, he's not the same type of player.
I know
Jay
that
Crowder can't attack the rim the way Jason Tatum.
What I know is this. I know that Jason Tatum will one day be far better than Jay Crowder ever will be. But do I think Jay Crowder last year, the best year of his career, is better equipped right now and
so
certainly...
So you tell us what happened to the Celtics. What went wrong?
But they are, I'll tell you exactly, they are the same, they are to me a lesser version, slightly lesser version of the team they were last year. They're a team that, guess what, looked at this lineup and said, the only way we can really compete is it for a championship is if we add a Gordon Hayward. Like, Kyrie, what we keep doing with the Celtics to me is looking at what Jaylen Brown will be, what Jason Tatum will be, what Kyrie Irving is, and saying, well, that's obviously they're an improved team, as opposed to saying, okay, but Jason Tatum is taking the minutes Jay Crowder had, and Jay Crowder was awesome last year. Jaylen Brown's taking the minutes Avery Bradley had, and Avery Bradley was really good last year. Kyrie's taking the minutes Isaiah Thomas had. Isaiah Thomas was second team all NBA last year. Like, I have no evidence that you mentioned this team could have lost to the Bulls in the first round. This team could lose in the first round this year.
Okay, so I think that last thing is dumb. They're not losing in the first round this year. But Jay Crowder last year versus Tatum this year.
And the numbers are almost the same.
And this is what we're not talking about Crowder right now, what he is this year, or who I'd rather have. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what Jay Crowder brought to the Celtics last year versus what Tatum's bringing to him this year.
Didn't you guys dump all over Crowder last year?
I'm just talking about pure production. Jaylen Brown.
So that's a no or yes?
Jaylen Brown taking the minutes of Avery Bradley.
Avery Bradley's a better player.
Brought you more last year than Jaylen Brown's bringing you this year.
Sure.
The Isaiah to Kyrie conversation, again, we all know how we feel about Isaiah and how we feel about Kyrie. But in terms of the actual production, how much different has it been?
No, Isaiah was better. But again, you can't go just by the numbers. You know this. You're just trying to bait people.
No, I'm not. I'm just, does he have a point?
Mike.
What was the Celtics record at this
who's
point?
Who's better, Kyrie or Isaiah?
Oh, Kyrie.
Okay, and so in terms of how you have to guard them, can you guard them the same way?
So Kyrie, I'm willing to take off the board in this conversation, okay? Because Kyrie's going to win you more games than Isaiah. He's a better player.
See, but I would say the same about Tatum and Crowder. Like, I look at Tatum and Crowder and say, I don't care what the numbers are. Jason Tatum's a better player now. He's a better player now than Jay Crowder.
Was last year.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, with the money on the table, if one of those guys has to hit a game-winning three, I'm taking Tatum 100 times out of 100.
I just think if you're a defense, think of it purely in terms of how you would defend them. Are you worried about Crowder? Nope. You worried about Tatum?
Yeah, a little.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Little bit.
Okay, Bradley to Brown, give that to him.
Yes, Bradley is better than Brown.
We're not talking positions. We're talking he's had minutes. You know, that Jaylen Brown's taken Avery Bradley's minutes, and has that been a value add or a subtract?
Subtract for the Celtics.
So far.
Step back. Bradley was. He was good last year. No two ways about it. But the Tatum thing to me and Crowder, like, you know, I don't know a lot about Nick Wright, but he bugs the crap out of me every time I hear him.
The next Celtics game he watches will be the first Celtics game he watches.
Let's not attack the individual. This is not what we're doing. We're discussing the...
I am.
Why?
No, so it's a fair point. Let's just go on the actual material,
yeah,
and not on who's delivering it.
Pretend someone else said it. Because
if it was Chris Carter, I'd say the same thing. Like
Chris Carter was on that panel.
No, I know he is. Yeah, the two of them do a show together, and Chris Carter bugs the crap out of me, too. In fact, I feel like he talks down to Nick Wright, but that's different.
Just take the content.
Yes, the content. No, he's right about Bradley. He's wrong about Tatum. Tatum's a better player right now than Jay Crowder was last year.
And just to compare the teams, I mean, you had so many overrated hacks on that team last year, like Jarebko, Olynyk, Amir Johnson. I'm going to take
The bench is a wash. Sorry.
No, it's not. Again, I'm not going with the stats. With this, I'm with Maz. F the stats. Eyeball test alone. I'd rather have Daniel Tice, Marcus Morris, and his gimpy knee, and Aaron Baines on those three bums from last year.
Then who?
Olynyk, Jarebko, Amir Johnson. I mean, come on.
Olynyk.
It really doesn't matter.
I'd rather have Marcus Morris than Olenek.
Olenek flat out won you a playoff game.
He did. Ooh. He won. Yeah.
Well, that's what those guys do.
He's a stiff.
So is Daniel Tice.
No, Tice is all right.
No, I see you're falling in love with the little pieces again. This is the Celtics thing. You fall in love with the bench guys.
Young German who's got a lot of upside.
Tice, baby.
These guys are interchangeable. These are disposable razors. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who those pieces are. You're not looking at the right place.
Celtics are a little better than they were a year ago, and the conference is a little worse. Okay. Or at least the top of the conference.
Now that's different. The conference is worse. Fine. That'll give you. I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting take.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.